This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, good morning. If you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 16. And as you turn, let me tell you about my boring life that President Jones introduced. I met my wife, I think I have a slide here, I met my wife Jackie here 26 years ago. Took me about 6 months to figure out that even though she was so beautiful, she could still be from the Lord. I had that sense of, man, maybe this is Satan incarnate, because she was beautiful to distraction, but I became convinced that the Lord was leading us together. And so one Sunday night, we walked down to Faculty Row, and I saved the words to be able to say, it'd been 6 months, and I finally told her, Jackie, I love you. She paused for a moment and said, I think I'm going to throw up. Not exactly what I was anticipating in return, but it's been an adventure ever since. We've moved to Jacksonville straight out of Columbia, and God has given us 6 kids, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, and 20, 3 boys and 3 girls. My 18-year-old, who's top center there, when he was 5, 6 years old, had a very strange passion. The passion of his life was mowing the yard. Except he couldn't. He wasn't quite big enough, so he would always want to mow the yard. I have this distinct memory of him saying to me, Dad, let's mow the yard, because he could only mow it straight, and then I'd have to turn it, and then he'd mow it straight, and then I'd have to turn it, and he'd mow it straight. It wasn't helping me. So I said, Will, they're playing football in the yard. Go play football. I don't want to play football. He's crying that I'm making him play football instead of mowing the grass. So his dream came true. One Saturday, my neighbor, who had seen him out there doing it with me, comes over and says, Will, I see you mowing grass with your dad. My husband's out of town. Would you mow my grass for me? Well, that's like his dream. But he goes, how much? 6-year-old. Way to go, son. I didn't know I had taught you to negotiate. She goes, $5. It's like, lady, come on. Child labor laws. You can't rip off my boy like that. So he goes, just a second, and he runs into the house. She looks at me. I look at her. I have no clue. He comes back a few minutes later, comes walking down the driveway, and Mona says, so what do you say, Will? He says, will you take 3? You're a little slow on the uptake here. He was prepared to empty his life savings of $3 in order to mow her lawn. Not the brightest kids I have, are they? Well, he kind of got it backwards, and not just a little off, backwards, and that's what I want us to look at in 1 Corinthians 16, because I think we got something backwards here. If you're there at 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse 13, where it says this, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. It's those two words that I think we've pulled a Will on at the end of verse 13, be strong, because when you think be strong, or when you have told someone be strong, or you have been told, come on, be strong, to quote the Princess Bride, I do not think it means what you think it means. Because be strong doesn't mean, come on, buck it up. Be strong literally means this, be strengthened. That's a huge difference. Be strengthened is dramatically different than be strong. Be strong says to you, this is your responsibility. Buck it up. Be strengthened is not something I do. It's something that I receive. Paul says, be strong, but be strengthened. Well, so how? How am I to be strengthened? Turn from 1 Corinthians 16 to John chapter 15. Pretty familiar passage in John 15, but I want us to look very specifically. We're going to keep coming back to the same verse, John 15, 5, answering the question, how is it that I am intended to be strong by being strengthened? So we get it straight and not backwards. John 15, 5, are you there? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We're going to look at that verse three times. The first time here, we're looking at that last phrase, apart from me, you can do nothing. In order to be strengthened, to be strong by being strengthened, Jesus says we must admit we are impossibly weak. The very opposite of what you would think when someone says, be strong. You would think if someone said to you, be strong, and you thought, yeah, but I'm weak, that would be a problem. But that's not a problem. Jesus actually says, oh, now you are taking the first step to being strengthened by admitting that you are, and I use that very intentionally, impossibly weak. You are not weak. You are impossibly weak. If there's anything that's going to derail you and I from being strong by being strengthened, it's not going to be that you think, hey, I think I can do everything. It's that you think you can do some things. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm the vine, you're the branches, abide in me, and I in you, that you bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can't do everything. Jesus said, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. But we don't tend to believe that about ourselves. Now, maybe you're going, oh, what, you don't even know me. How would you say that? Listen to your prayers. Your prayers often go like this, or your prayer request. Oh man, next week is just gonna slay me. You guys pray for me. I really need God to come through for me next week. What have you just said? I got this week covered. I can handle this week. Or I am meeting with this person and they just rub me the wrong way so bad. Y'all really need to pray for me because I just want to kill that person sometimes. Everybody else I can handle, but I need Jesus for this person. You see, you sometimes cry out with great desperation, God help! And that's not a problem. It's your silence. It's your days where you don't start out with your desperate cry, I need you, that you're in trouble. Because listen, anytime you think, well, I can love that person. I can handle that ministry opportunity. Anytime you think that, you know what you're calling Jesus? Liar. Because actually, he didn't say, apart from me, you can't do everything. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We don't want to admit weakness, but listen, folks. You'll never be strong. You'll never be strengthened until you agree with Jesus, I am impossibly weak. Do you believe that about yourself? It's the reason God hates pride. Until you believe you are impossibly weak, you are shielding yourself from the strength of God. That's the first step. Back to John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Now that's a visual image that the disciples that he was speaking to would have been very clear on, but it's not something that we necessarily think about. So I brought you a picture. There's a vine. Now I have a question for you. Which is the vine and which is the branch? Because Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branch. So which is Jesus and which is you? Well, you might go, and you punch the nut button one more time. You might go, wait, right there, that's me. Doesn't look like me, but that's kind of me and Jesus. That's a branch, right? Would you agree that's a branch? You're suspicious to take the bait, aren't you? Would you agree that's a branch? Of course that's a branch. Would you, though, then go, is it not the vine? Is it the vine? Yeah, I'm not setting you up with every question. You can relax a little bit. Is it the vine? Yes. Is it a branch? Yes. Jesus is not saying to you, this is me and this is you. Jesus is saying, this is me and this is you. I'm the vine, you're the branch. We are one. See, there's a reason he's telling them that, because Philip had just asked a question that he wished he wouldn't have asked of Jesus. Show us the Father. And he kind of caught it on the chin from Jesus, because Jesus said, dude. Well, not dude. Philip, you've been with me so long. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. Disciples, I'm the vine, you're the branch. He wasn't saying, here's me, and then here's you. He's saying, here we are. Now, why is that so significant about being strong? Very simply, what is it that Jesus calls you to do, faculty, board member, student? What is it that Jesus calls you to do that he cannot do himself? It's an easy question. You can answer it. Nothing. There's nothing that he calls you to do that he can't do himself. So, yes, when I hear be strong, I go, oh, but I'm not strong. Well, that's good. It's actually good that you don't think you're strong. It's good to understand that you are impossibly weak, but you are united with the one who is infinitely strong. That's the next step. Yes, I am impossibly weak, but I am also must recognize that I've been made one with the one who is infinitely strong. That's why Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But then Paul turned around and said, yeah, but I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, and Christ lives in me. And therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who makes me strong. Yeah, I'm impossibly weak. Never, never, never deny that you're impossibly weak. But never, also, never, ever forget that you have been united with the one who is infinitely strong. So I'm trying to share this with some college students. And I say, if Christ lives within us, why is it that we are not living out the fullness of the life of Christ? And this little girl, I still remember in her circle, the back left, she goes, we're just human. You may have thought that. I wanted to kill her. Who in here is just human? Is only human? That guy right there, the guy beside you. Who in here is only human? Listen, man, the good news of the gospel is this. If you are only human, you haven't been born again. If you think, well, you know, I do my best, but God understands I'm only human. No, God does not understand that. What God understands is that he sent his son so that you would be forgiven, and he poured out his Holy Spirit into you so that you would no longer be only human. Stop thinking, I'm only human. You're not. The scripture says Christ lives in you. You're a partaker of the divine nature. We need to stop excusing ourselves. We're only human. We're not. We've been born again. We've become partakers of the divine nature. That's why Paul constantly says in his letters, do you not know that your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that Christ now dwells within you? You're acting as if you're still only human. We're not going to be strengthened if we think we're anything but impossibly weak. And we're not going to be strengthened if we think we're only human. I lived that way for a long time. I thought I've been forgiven. Got to try and do my best. God's going to grace. Totally discounting that I've been made one with Him who is infinitely strong, who is the righteous one, dwells within me. Yeah, impossibly weak and infinitely strong. So here's the final question. This is usually where we get tripped up. How to get His infinite strength through my puny branch? Maybe you've never thought of it in that exact phrase, but that's what you've thought. How is it? Where's the disconnect? Why can't? I know, I don't disagree with you now. Maybe I have thought incorrectly that, okay, I know. How do I get it out? Well, John 15:5, one more time. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. How do I get the infinite strength out of my impossibly weak self? What's the key word? Abiding. And abiding is just some mystical thought of some way that I relate with Jesus. No. Abiding isn't mystical at all. Abiding couldn't be more practical. Let me demonstrate for you. When the Israelites were about to go into the promised land under Joshua's leadership, what separated them from entering in? Well, that was going out of Egypt. This is what was separate? Jordan River. Come on, Dr. Byer, let's get with it with these guys. All right, come on. See? Jordan River separate. And so God said, if I want you to cross over, so I'm going to make the Jordan River stop flowing. It's going to mound up in a heap. Wow, that'd be awesome. That would be very helpful, God. Thank you. But watch how he does it. Joshua 3, you don't need to turn to it. I'm going to read it for you. Joshua 3, verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap. When did the waters stop? When they walked into the water. Why'd they walk into the water? Because God said, start crossing, and when you get into the water, then the water will heap up. You and I must learn that we can only experience being strengthened to be strong when we step in obedience to His revealed will. Now, you may go, I don't get it. This is absolutely key here, folks. You and I are strengthened to be strong only as we take the step in obedience to what He has revealed to us in His will. When we step, that's when we are made strong. Abiding is not some mystical thought. Abiding is simply living in a constant state of obedience. Now listen, when you and I live in a constant state of obedience to His word, taking the steps, then we're strengthened. But if that's the river of obedience, here's where lots of us live. Sitting on the banks, contemplating it. God, make me strong. God, stop the waters. God, work powerfully in my life. God, I need you to show yourself strong on my behalf. And you know what he's saying to all those contemplative prayers on the bank? Step in and I will. Step in and I will. Do you live your life on the bank, waiting for God? Or have you learned that when you step in obedience, whether you feel impossibly weak or not, that God always makes you strong? Now, let me demonstrate. I have this tandem bike. I love this tandem bike because it represents life as we're intended to live it. Now, if you saw me this afternoon riding around campus on this bike by myself, what would you think? Yeah, I didn't understand you. What you should be thinking is this. What you should be thinking is, dude, either find a partner or get a new bike. Because that's a two-person bike. But this me riding this around by myself, this is the unbeliever living his life. Created to be in relationship with God, but driving around themselves. And then there was the point where I placed faith in Jesus Christ. Rick Swift, come on up here. Am I allowed to call you Rick? Yes, I am. Rick, come on up here. What do y'all call him? Okay, good. He gets to be Jesus. Don't call him that, but just for right now. He gets to be Jesus. So I realize I need him. So Jesus, will you come? God, I don't want to do that. I invite him to come into my life. And so you climb on. There you go. All right. And then we're going, oh, this is awesome. And then I go to camp or a retreat and somebody goes, oh, no, 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 no. Jesus is supposed to be in front. And Carrie Underwood sings, Jesus, take the wheel. So I realize, Jesus, that actually the way we're supposed to, go ahead, climb on if you can. There you go. We're supposed to live like this. Or are we? Because is this really Jesus in control of my life? Do I just, go ahead, Jesus, go wherever you want, do whatever you want. That's not the way you every day, listen, every day you make decisions, don't you? Of where you go, what you do, who you spend it with, how long you stay there. And so really, this isn't the way we live life. Getting your work out there, but all right, there you go. This is the way we live life. Is Jesus still intended to be in control? That's a yes. He is. He is. I hope you've learned that one. How is that to work? Well, I have my hands, and what's Jesus saying to me through his declared word? Go down, take a right, and love your neighbor. And then go straight ahead and share with the lost. And then go down, take a left to those who are among the unreached peoples of the world. And then keep going straight ahead and give all the resources you can to the work of the kingdom. He's telling me, right? Take a right, straight, take a left, go straight, take a right. And at every point in your life, my life, what am I doing? I'm either taking a right when he says take a right, or I'm going, take a right? Are you serious? That looks hard. I don't think I can do that. I'll go straight. When I go straight, when Jesus tells me to go right, what does he do? Does he jump off the back? You jump off the back?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm with you.
Isn't that sweet? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake me. Right? He's on for good, yes? But when I go straight, when he says, Jesus says, take a right, when I go straight because I think that's too hard or I don't want to make that sacrifice, when I go straight, he doesn't jump off the back, but what's he do?
Recalculating route.
Feet off the pedals, right? But when I go right, when he says go right, and it's steeper than I can possibly do, what's he say? I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you. I'll strengthen you. Some of you are looking at the world, and you want to be used by God. You're looking at the church, and you want to be used by God. You're looking at your community and your family, and you're saying, God, I want to be used, but I don't think I can. I've been really, really challenged by Major Ian Thomas's statement recently. Can you put this up in here? Do not ask if something is possible. Only ask if it is right. That is so simple and has been so transforming for me. Because, listen, this is so practical. Every day I make steering decisions based on what I hear and then what I think about myself. Either I'm too weak or I'm strong enough or it's impossible. I don't want to... And I just want to ask this chapel, what if you decided, I'm going to ask one thing, what's the right thing to do in my family? Not what do I think I can do, what I feel like I have the strength to do, what's the right thing to do in my family? What's the right thing to do in my church? What's the right thing to do according to Jesus Christ, for this world? What's the right thing? Possible is irrelevant. Why? Because I have been made one with the infinitely strong one. Do you believe that? What if, folks, you really did take him at his word? I want you to stand with me, if you would. I don't know what you're used to here, but this is what we're going to do for this chapel. You don't have to say this, but if it's the expression of your heart, I invite you to say it out loud after me. I'll let you hear it. And if you want to say it, this is our closing prayer. I'm not going to pray it for us, you're going to choose to pray it if that's your heart. If you're willing, would you admit right now out loud before God and everyone in this room, God, I admit that I am impossibly weak. But I am not only human. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. And so I give myself to you to do whatever's right by your grace and your strength. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.